What's happening, guys? It's Adam here. Just a quick word from our sponsors before we kick off today's episode. That is beer52.com. Beer 52 is the UK's most popular craft beer discovery club. They're number one, baby. And they'll send you some amazing beers every month, and you can rate and review them via their website to earn points and rewards. Now, every month's beers that you get sent will have a brand new theme. Past themes have been the beers of Germany, California, Belgium, Korea, New Zealand, South Africa, and many, many more. And they've kindly given our listeners an exclusive offer. You'll get a free case of 8 beers, an award-winning beer magazine, and a tasty snack the second you sign up. They'll send them out in the post to you, and you can't catch corona from the post. All you have to do is pay a few quid for the delivery, and you can cancel or pause your membership at any time. Sign up now at beer52.com/word. That's our exclusive link. That's beer52.com/word. You'll claim your free case of beer, and for every person that signs up via that link only, they slide us a little bit of money. That supports the podcast. It helps us out. It's win-win. So do us a favour. Pause the pod here. Go and do that now, and then enjoy the episode. Nice one. See you in a bit.
Fucking did it in one take, bro.
Yeah, man.
Okie dokie, piggy the pokey. Good morning, job seekers.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's happening.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Is that Dave?
No, there's no one called Dave here.
Okay.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Have you never seen me before? Upset me, nasty bitch!
Disgusting!
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel like podcasting. Two mics, two lids, and a lot of time on their hands. This is Have a Word, Shutdown Dailies. Let's get through this mess together.
That was the longest setup we've ever had.
Ever. I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah, it's just annoying. Tech stuff is annoying.
And you're probably still hungover from 2 days ago.
Let's go. No. Everyone was like, you're right. It's like, Jesus Christ. I wasn't that fucking pissed. I wasn't like slurring like, oh my God, I'm so fucking drunk. I'd had like 2 beers. And yeah, I've always been a bit of a lightweight, but I'm not that lightweight.
I think what people were worried about is, though, that was recorded at like 2 in the afternoon. And I think they thought you carried on drinking into the night. Did you stop or did you carry on?
That was quite a late record, though, wasn't it? We started, I think I had my first little beer at four o'clock. I think I had my last beer at sort of 7 and went to bed about 8:30. So pretty crazy one.
Such a nan.
This guy didn't even finish the second Estrella.
Did you not?
No.
How many drinks did you have?
I had 3 halves, basically.
In 3 hours, you're such a fucking pussy. Yeah. We're sponsored by a beer company.
Yeah, but
you can't be telling people you drink half a pint every hour.
I wasn't drinking like it was my stag do. I was just having some beverages on the pod. As soon as I finished the pod, I kind of lost the interest in the boozing, because then you just, you're coming out and it's tea time in a family home. Like, I loved the daytime drinking. I genuinely think it's one of my favourite drinkings. But as long as you stay in the bubble of where you're drinking, because I don't know if you've ever done this, when you've done daytime drinking and then it's finished early and then all of a sudden you've got to get the bus home with like commuters and it's 6 and you're like, and everyone's got like briefcases and they look like they hate the life and you're like, all right, you love music. I fucking love music. And yeah, there's something quite sobering about like having to do bath time with your child. Like, daddy, why are you crying? Shut up. Just do bath time. It's the bath water. I'm not crying. Like, I don't know. So, yeah, I was loving the bubble. I think next Saturday we should make it end of our podcasting week. We should make Saturday our little, let's have a little pint on the pod.
You want me to get drunk with you on the pod? Okay.
Well, cool. I don't know if we'll be able to replicate the magic of me being a bit half cut, but I mean, people loved it, didn't they? Which is a bit offensive after a while when everyone's like, oh my God, Dan, you're so funny drunk. I'm like, what? Shit, what am I like sober? Yeah, you're fine sober. You're fine sober. Defo, get beer 52.
Did you ever used to go to the Matthew Street Festival in Liverpool? Did you ever come to that?
No.
So the Matthew Street Festival in Liverpool is the only time I can relate to going home that drunk on the bus with commuters. So It was a weekend long festival that was all over the city of Liverpool, but like focused on Matthew Street, and it would just be musicians. Like imagine the Edinburgh Festival, but instead of comedy, in every pub in the city, there's musicians on all day from like noon till 4 a.m. And you could, they lift the street drinking laws. So for that weekend, it doesn't run anymore. You could drink on the street legally, just all over the city centre.
Fucking plastic everywhere.
I started going to that when I was about 13, 14, and just getting fucking hammered. And I'd be just rotten drunk 13-year-old kid getting the 10A bus back with some pensioners, like being to Iceland. I'm like, I'm fucking, all right, Judith. let's have a party on the bus.
You know it's gone wrong when you're actually in Iceland fucking pissed because your wife's like, I will pick you up from your drinking because I'm finished at work at 6. And I'll come and get you at 6, but we do have to go to Sainsbury's. That's when the daytime drinking's really going to sting you. When you're in there going, love, you've got oven chips 2 for 1. You've got to cook them first, dickhead. Cook them first. Come back here. Come on, me and the kids are going to go and play on the Postman Pat ride. We're not here with our children, dickhead. Come back. They're not your kids. You're stealing children for an adventure. Come on. Yeah, that's a dangerous game to play, innit? But then again, it's dangerous when you're still fucking going at night and you're the guy that's out where everyone else got out at 7:30 p.m. and you got out at midday because you've been day drinking. You've got to call it at some point sensible, haven't you? You can't be like, and I'm still here at 1 a.m. because you'll die.
Well, you say that, but like, I'm not your age yet, so I'm I'm just a fucking nightmare. I just keep going. What was the youngest you ever drank?
Proper 14, maybe around 14.
You what?
Yeah,
basically out the game by then.
You'd retired, had you? You just got a nice house in the Cotswolds by 15.
I've got a story for you, right? This is true. So, for any of our listeners who've not seen me before, I've got quite a bad lazy eye. Now, I won't go into too much detail about it. If you want to find out the full details, there's some stand. So, for anyone listening, the have a word sign that was on the wall has just fell off and twatted me on the head.
It's not funny. It's not funny. I'm laughing at with you, not at you.
I mean,
are we going without the sign, mate? Oh, go on. Can you get it back up? Oh, that looked good. Nailed it. Fucking nailed it, mate.
One hand as well. Anyway, fuck me, I've got a headache.
So honestly, we
heavier than it looks, isn't it?
We need to get this podcast really growing and getting bigger, and people are like, why? So you can do more content? Well, no, we're already doing 6 episodes a week, and I tell you for now, we'll never do fucking this many. It's too much because we've got a headache and we're 10 minutes into the podcast. But to just have a producer that's be like, guys, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down and do all the fucking tech stuff. You can sit down and tell your bullshit stories about Matthew Street, day drinking, Iceland, Sainsbury's, and I'll fucking screw the sign in. What about that?
Yeah. I'll make sure the sign's not a fucking health and safety.
I will pay someone 25 grand a year at this point to make sure that fucking sign is screwed in. That's literally how...
anyway,
Adam, so you're back in your safe place now. Please go.
So I've got a lazy eye, right? And it's essentially a lazy eyelid. My left eyelid droops too low, or it certainly did when I was a kid. And I had an operation to put a muscle out of my leg, out of my thigh, into my eyelid, which led to the nickname Thigh Eye at school. Now you can go watch some stand up about that if you're into that sort of stuff. But one of the side effects of doing that is my left eye stays open a bit when I go to sleep, right? Now, what? When I was a kid, I was quite...
Didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Yeah. Oh, mate, for one night stands, it's fucking great in getting rid of them. I've had girls try to leave their own homes.
The beast. Right. It doesn't sleep properly.
Let me tell you this story. So when I was a kid, I was really embarrassed by that. I didn't tell anyone about it. At all. I knew it happened. My eye would dry out a bit sometimes when I was asleep. It's one of the complications of the operation. Anyway, right. One night I asked my mum, could me and some of my mates camp in the back garden? So we just put a four-man tent in our back garden and had a little camping night, right? So it was me, me mate Tom, me mate Bernard, and me mate another lad called Adam. And we got, there was a local smackhead. There was a fella who was, he lived on our street. He had about 12 kids, and him and his wife were smackheads. Just common knowledge. Dead sound people, just had a smack problem, right?
Like, so, lovely for smackheads. Yeah.
He would go and get you anything from the off license if you give him a quid, right?
How so irresponsible was that off license? Like, oh, here he is again. God, this cunt gets through a lot of hooch.
So he'd put a £1 like levy or tax on each item, but he'd go and get it for you. So what me and my mates did, we said we'd camp in the back garden, and we had like a, every house on our street had like an entry, you know, like an alleyway. Right, we all had our own one of them to keep our bins in and shit. And we went and seen Tony the Smackhead, which is full title. I'm laughing because I can see you looking at me like, this is the most ridiculous thing. I haven't told you a single lie, I swear on me mother's grave.
No wonder you were drinking before the age of 14, just to get through the fucking neighbours. Go on.
So we asked them to go and get us some Frosty Jack's white cider. Like a bottle each, right? And we gave him an extra quid. So it was like a five at a bottle. So.
How old were you?
12, 13, 14.
Right, okay.
Something like that. Like, not like too young, but young.
Yeah, right? Young enough that you need the most cider, the strongest alcohol content for the least money. That like, oh, it's a fucking 2 litre vat. But it's okay, it's $3.99. Fucking hell.
So Tony was told, go to shop, get us our cider. And leave it in the entry, leave it in the alleyway, and we'll come and get it from there. That way, my mum doesn't have to know that we've gone anywhere. As far as she's concerned, we're just in the back garden, and one of us just has to nick into the entry, get the alcohol, she'll never know any difference.
Mate, you invented the drop-off that before social distancing was invented. You fuckers invented contactless delivery. You're so ahead of your time.
It was the original Just Eat.
You weren't bothered about a virus. You didn't want to get twatted off your ma.
So we drank a lot of cider, like all of it, and we're fucking hammered, and I passed out. Right now, when I've told you on the podcast before, once I'm asleep, I'm asleep, especially when I'm 13 years old and full of fucking 8% cider. Right, so I'm gone. I'm passed out, gone to the world, and me mates had never seen me asleep before. Now, when someone's asleep with one of their eyes open, it looks to the untrained person that they might be dead, right? So my mate Tom was, who's, you got to remember, all my mates are all the same age as me, and they're all absolutely hammered as well. Tom is crying his eyes out because he thinks I'm dead. So not like laughing. He's like, we fucking killed Adam. What are we going to win in his back garden? We're fucking him. They're slapping me face and everything. I'm not waking up at all. They're just beating the shit out of me. And I'm just, I'm gone. So the boys had a little conversation. I missed all of this, obviously, because I'm passed out. And in the end, Tom was like, we've got to go and tell his mum. Maybe if they get him to the hospital soon, they'll be able to save him. Maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's just in a coma. So he goes and he bangs on the back door. He's like, Anne, please come. So my mum gets out of bed. This is late now. This is really, really late. And she comes down.
So she's pleased. She's really pleased.
Yeah. But, you know, like, because I've got a bad eye, you get brought up and you're getting bullied for it because obviously kids are cunts. But your mum and your dad are all like, it's a special eye. It's an amazing eye. We wouldn't change your eye for the world. We love your eye. This is the best eye on the planet. Why would you want two normal eyes? This means it's special. You know, the proper parent. She was great for that. But this is 3 o'clock in the morning and she's just been awoken from a sleep. Okay. So Tom is panicked as fuck. While he's at the patio door, Bernard and the other Adam have managed to wake me up. So I'm now semi-conscious in the tent, right? And I hear Tom go to my mum, and we're really sorry, right? We're really, really sorry. I've got to tell you, I told you that we just wanted to camp in the back garden, but really, we wanted to have a bevy, right? We wanted to have a drink. So we got Tony the Smackhead to go to the shop for us. He's got us some cider and he's brought it. We picked it up from the entry and we've drank it all. And I really don't, there's no nice way for me to tell you this, Anne, but I'm pretty sure that Adam's dead, right? And my mum goes, what? What the fuck do you mean Adam's dead? And he goes, well, he's in there and he's passed out, but his left eye's open and it's like he's dead. And my mum, this, I swear to God, this is a direct quote and I heard it from the tent. Oh, don't worry about that. That's just his stupid fucking eye.
And row, giving zero fucks at 3 a.m.
She's just pissed off. Don't worry about that. It's his stupid fucking eye.
Then you just hear a fucking French window. Bang!
This whole facade that my parents had painted for me just falling away.
You're special. It's magic. It's a superpower. Fucking, it's his stupid eye. And you know, people listening to that will obviously, who didn't, you know, get brought up in Dovey in the early noughties, I think they'll be like, wow, the smackhead bit, that's going to take you aback. And then just like how much you drank as a child, as a minor. And I think that's going to be a bit shocking to a lot of people. Your mum's disregard for your feelings when she's talking about what is essentially, you know, a disability. I think it's still going to be the most gobsmacking thing is that you had a childhood friend called Bernard.
We've already spoken about this.
I know.
This.
It's still, if you've not heard that episode, that is still going to be like, oh shit, yeah. Adam's got a childhood friend called Bernard. You were all drinking fucking cheap cider and he just had a pint of mild on the go and a fucking pipe.
Did I tell you on the last episode that the TV show Bernard's Watch was based on Bernard, my mate?
Oh, stop being silly.
I'm being silly, yeah.
You're a silly person. Stop being a silly person. I'm not drunk now, sir. I think that's a fucking great story. I don't need really look irresponsible, but I'd love to do one of the Saturday lock-in podcasts drinking the kind of shite that kids drink on the streets, like Diamond White and...
Oh, that's so funny. Let's do that this week.
You can select...
Let's have some cider and black.
But like the nasty stuff that if you spill it on a car, yeah, someone's going to have to get a whole paint job redone. Well, look at my bonnet, you dickhead!
Frosty Jacks is the one I remember. Oh, and you put black currants in it. That's what we drank. You'd get a 3 litre bottle for like £3 or £4. Plus the extra quid, obviously, for Tony the Smackhead.
Carlsberg Special Brew is the one that I always remember.
Oh, you can't.
Specky
Did
Brew.
Did you drink that as a child?
No, I watched more manly children drink it. Specky, you know, like when everyone was getting, I'll get 8 tinnies. And then someone would be like, no, fuck that. I'm just going to get 3 Specky Brews. It works way better. And you're like, oh my God.
That was off limits for us. Was
that too far? Even Tony the Smackhead was like, hey, lads, listen, I do smack and I've got 12 kids, but fucking hell, you don't want to put that shit in your system. That shit will fucking kill you.
Have some self-respect, kids. Okay, now, does anyone want some crack cocaine?
I mean, I've got no teeth.
Down.
But I'm not a not an idiot. Yeah, Specky Brew. I mean, Carlsberg Special Brew is something else, and it's like 4 times the price of any other Carlsberg and 6 times stronger.
And have you smelled it?
Oh. It's like someone spilled turpentine and wine and lager all in. Oh, it's horrible.
It smells like, do you know when you have a house party and the next day you hung over so you're too tired and you don't clean anything up, and then there's the third day, right? And that's when you're going to tidy the house and you find a can of lager that's been open for 2.5 days.
Oh my God,
and you smell
right.
It. That's what Carlsberg Special Brew smells like the second you open it.
That's right. Have you ever seen now as an adult? Yeah, that's it.
They just open a can of Carlsberg and leave it for tramps to piss in and then fucking seal it up again and charge an extra £2.
Carlsberg just going around every pub going, end of the night, don't fucking throw that stuff out. We've got the Carlsberg special.
Carlsberg drip tray.
Yeah. The special brew. Why is it special? Because anyone who drinks it's fucking special. Oh, brutal. I see when you see adults in shops like now buying it, you're like, oh, sir, are you okay? What went wrong? Just get some
Frosty
Jacks.
I would judge someone less for buying like a machine gun. Like a white nerdy kid from a high school in America buying a machine gun gives me less worry than a fucking 25-year-old man ordering four special brew.
Can we get a specky brew? Can we get a specky brew for Saturday? Just one each.
I can't drink that shit, lad.
No, I know I can't, but I think it'd be funny listening to you try and drink it.
I'll get one, but then I'm...
Don't have to get more than one. I'm not like, get four. They'll be on offer. Everyone only ever buys one. It's not a fucking, yeah, I got nine. It's ten. I got ten of them. Maybe just a cheap cider then.
We'll rename Saturdays instead of the shutdown daily. Saturday is the lockdown lock-in.
The lockdown lock-in. Look at you with the brand.
Oh, that's up there with Beaver Dam, that. A lockdown lock-in with Adam Rowe and Dan Nightingale, sponsored by Beer 52. Doc, I think we've got to drink some Beer 52.
Oh shit! Yeah. Fuck.
I'm not sure Beer 52 do Carlsberg Special Brew.
I've just literally about 5 minutes ago going, we really need a producer to help stick the sign up, and we need a producer. How are we going to do that? We need sponsors. How are we going to piss them off? Drinking Carlsberg? Yeah. That's it. Fucking idiots. And we're not expecting... Have a word. Podcast is sponsored by Carlsberg Special Brew. Let's crack on with this fucking nonsense.
Now it's time for Would You Rather with your favourite morons, Adam and Dan.
Okay. Have you got some curation?
I have got some curation. We have had a ton of Would You Rathers, and I've got them on my email. Just 2 seconds.
Would you rather do this or rather do that? That's not a bad one, is it?
It's terrible.
Full credit must go to Jade. Jade, come up with that.
Oh, it's brilliant. I like Jade. This seems pertinent. This is just how this has happened. Barry Parsons has emailed us. Would you rather, if you had to lose one, would you rather lose alcohol or the internet? And I think he means specifically during the shutdown. So say it's another month, 2 months, 3 months. What do you reckon? Would you rather lose alcohol or the internet?
I'd rather lose alcohol. Yeah. I think because I haven't had that much alcohol since we've been shut down. I've had a couple of beers, like two or three nights. But that's it. Whereas like I'm on the internet fucking all day, every day. Without the internet, we can't do this.
We can't do this. You can't watch Netflix. You can't use porn. You knew it was going to be high up my priority list. Like, I can't WhatsApp my family. Oh, shit, I should have said that before, porn.
I'm getting to the point now with porn, to be honest with you, where the porn can't match my depraved fantasies, so I'm having to use my imagination.
Oh, you're fully going imagination now, are you?
Yeah, at the minute.
Is your imagination in 5G? Because that's exciting, isn't it? If it's really sped up as... Like, if it's as fast as internet porn, that's amazing. The clarity on the picture of my imagination.
Are you telling me that
phenomenal.
Sometimes your imagination wanks buffer?
No, I wander off. That's that's worse than buffering.
Dan's brain's on dial-up. Got to dial-up imagination. Dan can't imagine porn if Laura's imagining something else in another room.
Babe! Stop thinking about what you want for your birthday. I'm trying to crank one out. I think your imagination, your commitment to imagination wanks is phenomenal. I just don't trust myself to not start thinking about like, oh, fuck, I've got to do that in the garden. And then it's just not as sexy, is it? So
have you got ADHD?
Yeah.
Who gets halfway through a wank and starts thinking about fucking bushes?
Hey, Adam, with an accidental shit bush joke. Everyone listening went, whoop. Turns out fucking that special brew's needed. We need a little bit of a kick for the fucking gags. Hey, bushes? Losing the porn would be hard. The internet, it's a difficult one because a lot of people be listening going, it's easy to go, no, mate, you can't lose alcohol. But I mean, it literally pretty much goes air, internet, and then everything else, doesn't it? Air, food, internet, and then I reckon everything else is just an option.
Yeah, you can't lose the internet at the minute. And even in general, I think I'd lose booze before I lose the internet.
Yeah.
Even if we weren't shut down. Like, I could live without alcohol. I hope that's That's most people. Otherwise, you got a problem, motherfucker.
Mate, loads of my mates have been speaking to me, going, "How you doing? All right?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And they're like, "Ooh, I am. We're drinking a little bit too much." I'm like, "Yeah, because it's hard, isn't it? You're at home."
I said to Jade, I told you ages ago. I sort of collect alcohol. I've got like loads of rare whiskies and good, like some really good stuff. I said to Jade, the temptation at the minute to just go and crack that cabinet open and just get fucking hammered every night of the week is just, it's ridiculous because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah. And that's
all I do is play FIFA, have murder with Jade and make up.
Yeah. You add booze into that and no one's better for it, really. People are like, no, I need booze, but it's not going to make your arguments are going to get more dangerous. Your FIFA's going to get sloppy.
I think I'm going to have a couple of beers tonight and play FIFA, and then I'm going to wait till the weekend and then get fucked with you on the pod. I'm going to get drunk as well.
Right.
I'm doing spirits and shit.
Okay. Right. But you can't start drinking before the pod. I don't want you to start like, "Hey, lad, I've just shouted over to Tony the Smackhead. He's going to be our first guest. Come on, Tony."
Yeah, I know, lads. Yeah, I know.
What?
Just because of the syllables, Tony the Smackhead is so similar to Tony the Tiger, and I can't get that out my head. Try this, kids. It's great.
Oh, does he think it's great, or is he having a seizure?
Smackheads do growl as well. It's one of the many things they have in common with tigers.
Right, that's how much of a pussy I am. Never mind talking about fucking heroin and Carlsberg Special Brew. Honestly, for me to have Frosties is a real treat. Just, I mean, that's when you're on holiday, isn't it? Cornflakes is like normal. Frosties is like, what? Who am I? I'm just so dangerous.
No, I'm a crunchy nut man, me.
There's a lot of sugar with your fucking cereal, boy.
Yeah, I have either crunchy nuts, Cocoa Pops or Cheerios.
All right, Cheerios is not so bad. I was about to rinse you for fucking having the most diabetic ridden fucking breakfast. But just snort a Pop-Tart and off you go.
Do you drink tea?
No, I'm not a tea man. I'm not a tea or coffee man.
Oh, yeah, you don't like hot drinks, do you? I was going to say, do you have sugar? That's where a lot of my sugar comes from, is me tea. I have two. And I've tried so many times to cut back, but I just can't do it. Also, I'm drinking a drink here, a Pepsi.
Liar.
No, we're trying to get them to fucking sponsor us, you daft cunt. It's Pepsi, isn't it? What am I drinking, Dan?
Mate, if they're at minute 27 of this fucking 29 of this podcast, I'll be really impressed. Like, Pepsi really doing their due diligence on the Have a Word podcast. Guys, we're about to sponsor them, and I'm not bothered about the continuous wanking references, but I think he was drinking a cherry Coke at one point. It's disgusting. Hang on, do you honestly drink alcohol and play FIFA? Is that not, I mean, does that not hinder you?
Not, I don't normally do it, but I've got nothing else to do in the night at the minute, so.
No, but I know you take FIFA seriously, don't you? So yeah, is it not seen as a bit of a hindrance?
No, I mean, it would if I got drunk, but I'm not, like, if I have two or three beers, you'd never know I'd had a drink.
Yeah, same with like me, mate. Same with me. If I have a beer and a half, you'd never even know. You'd never even know.
Are you sure?
Episode 24. Seagulls are pedos. Good night. And I wasn't even trying to be funny. I was like, I fucking mean that.
When you called seagulls horrible cunts, I laughed about that for like 3 days, you know. Horrible cunts, aren't they? It's the first time you'd said that word on the podcast, I think.
We've got a Would You Rather from Shani. Ah, fucking Shani.
Okay.
Siani. Can I read it, Scouse? Is it going to be...
I feel like you're going to do it anyway.
Is it going to be... Yes. Oh, don't you pull that face when I listen to your fucking singing. You can listen...
All right. Do what you want, Daniel. Talk in the accent that you want. I don't mind. You do you, and I'll do me. We do a podcast largely for free. Do what you want. Do what you want. Do what you want.
Really fancy a special brew. This is from Shani. I'm refusing to read it, Scouse, because I just feel like we have so many listeners from, you know, Toki, Dovey, the Noggy Dogs. Don't want to piss them off. So Shani writes,
I think we're well past that.
Shani, I'm going to read it as a trained actor, but I'm going to read the words as they. Shani, I got to let yous know the pod is really keeping me up, my morale up during this lockdown with the stress of all this uncertainty. Anyway, would you rather be given £250,000, but if you take it, then the person you hate the most in the world would receive £300,000, or would you rather just not either of you get any money? I honestly love how Shani's head works. I fucking love it because you know, I will never know, you'll never know, but she knows exactly which twat she's thinking about when she's writing that would you rather. She's like, I know the bell end in my life that pisses me right off. 250 grand for you, but you know that cunt's got 300. Or fuck you, you get nothing, but I get nothing. But I'm pleased because you don't get 50 grand more than me. Would you rather, Adam?
Trying to think of who I hate the most. No, I'd take the money. Yeah. I'd take the money. Yeah. I would take the money because I think.
Right, I'm going to Dickinson's real deal, yeah.
Oh, shit. Here we go. Go on.
I had £300,000 down.
All right, Bobby Dazzler. That's a good impression, isn't it?
It is a really good impression. I have £300,000.
That's all right, Bobby Dazzler. That's right. I've got a little deal for you here. I'm David Dickinson, right? So I offered you £250. Oh. You said you'd take it. Now, what if I take it down £200?
No. £50. No, put their money up. You still get £250,000, but your enemy gets 500,000.
See, you're going in the wrong direction here.
Right, because you just want 250 grand.
I'm not asked about them enough.
Oh, I'd love
to turn 250 grand down. Or 10 grand, I'd go, fuck that.
Right. 50 grand. I know exactly who it is in my head. It took me about 0.5 seconds to think who it is. And I'd take 250 grand like you. I'd take it. I'd let them have 300 grand.
100 grand?
100 grand to me, 300 to them.
Yeah. 100 grand. That's life-changing money. This isn't fucking about.
Oh, think of all the special brew you could get. Yeah, it's got to be lower, hasn't it? Old David Dickinson's got to do the evil thing and go lower with what he's offering.
I think 20 grand I'd still take.
20 grand and they're getting 300.
Yeah, because I'm not arsed. Like,
I don't think you hate this person enough.
Do I know the person you hate? Do I know? I do, don't I? I know exactly who it is. I do know, don't I? That's who you were thinking of. That's so fucking funny. Oh, I'm gutted. We can't tell our listeners who that is.
It's a really good one. 50 grand to you, Adam. 50 grand to you, and you're the person you don't like gets a million. I couldn't do it. I literally couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Because if they bought a fucking comedy club and lorded it over me, my 50 grand wouldn't be enough.
No, 50 grand I'd still take. And they can have as much as you want.
Do you know what? Like, I think that speaks well to you because it means you don't hate someone enough.
Yeah. I don't hate someone enough. And I'm thinking of someone. It's a comic as well. I can't really think of anyone I hate more than this person. Which means it's not a man.
Oh, Shani, I love how your mind works. I love how your fucking mind works, bro.
I reckon 20 grand, my low ceiling. Anything over 20, I'd take. Anything below it, I'd be like, I'm not sure. 20 grand, change your life. 15, yeah. I'd get 50 grand.
But a million goes to them, and they've got a chance to not just change their life, but fuck with yours.
If they get a million, are they going to be... I can avoid them, can't I? I can delete them off Facebook. Can block them on Twitter and Instagram.
I've done that with
everyone
anyway.
I don't see them having that good life. So in my head, they're still fucking begging for gigs.
Do you know what's funny? Because, and this is actually a semi-serious point, if you listen to, like, the story of our life, mine is a bit milquetoast compared to yours. Of course, we've got the, we can always play the dead mum cards. You've got a dead mum, I've got a dead mum. So that makes us look...
My mum's
like
deader than yours, though, isn't she? My mum's more dead than yours is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, mine's only three quarters dead. She's really selfish like that. She's still a quarter alive, like... She's not on a ventilator. What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know.
Your ma's not as dead as my ma.
I just said it, just trying to stop you in your tracks, and it worked a fucking treat. I've seen your brain gone. What's he on about?
It's like, I don't understand what you mean.
My mum's better at being dead than your mum. That's
cancer
all I'm saying.
Counts.
You know what I mean?
Cancer's still a good death. Cancer's a fucking pussy hole's death, mate.
Cancer can take anyone, though. My mum committed to it and killed herself with alcohol, okay? Your mum just waited for the disease to get her. My mum gave herself one.
That sort of sums up what I mean. Jesus Christ. I think even our most hardened listeners just went, oh, that was fucking bleak. Even someone drinking special brew would not right now be going, I feel bad for that boy. What happened in your head?
I've got a bleak have a word that I forgot about because it got sent to Instagram. I'm going to do that today.
Right, okay. Let's really lean into this darkness. But I really think my childhood and upbringing was a little bit more vanilla than yours. You sound like you've had fucking neighbours called Tony the Smackhead. But we've got to essentially a similar point in life where we're making a decent living off comedy. I mean, you got there in about 4.5 minutes. Mine took a wee bit longer. But... You're quite, I don't know. You're one with the world more than me. I don't know if that's the age thing. Like, weirdly, I'm an old man about certain things, but the people that have pissed me off have had longer to really dig the fucking annoying, like, fingernails under my... Do you know what I mean?
Well, do you know what it is? Just to get serious for a minute. So, I know a lot of comedians listen to this, and specifically a lot of newer comedians listen to this. Now, one of the reasons I'm not really particularly bitter is because for a while I really, really, really was. Now, you made a joke there and said I got like where I am in comedy quite quick. Initially, it didn't feel like that. So I started stand-up 2010. And when I first started, I was doing really well. You helped me out a lot at the start. You put me in touch with bookers of big clubs and stuff and was like, look, this guy's new, but he's going to be good.
Mate, I compared a night in Chester 8-9 years ago. Are you the only open spot, and I've compared a lot, you're the only new act I've ever seen nearly get an encore. You got an encore doing a fucking 10-minute open spot.
Yeah.
And I walked straight on. I knew you were good straight from the off because I was like, that's the first time I've ever seen that. I'm not saying that was happening to you at every gig, but that was fucking noteworthy.
Yeah, it was a really, really, really good gig, and you did a lot for me off the back of that. But even after that, there was a few people that I started at the same time as who were getting gigs that I weren't. And every time I gigged with them, I was at least as good as them. So it was driving me fucking mad. Oh, yeah. And I was always like, why the fuck are they getting that? When I was better than him last week, why the fuck's that happening? Why is that happening? Why is that happening? And it was through listening to sort of the American podcasts and stuff where you hear people like Kevin Hart and Bill Burr and people like that talk about a very similar thing at the start, and they go, you just have to realise what other people are doing, especially in an art form as insular and personal as comedy. Someone else getting gigs before you doesn't fucking matter. It sounds wanky, but they're on a completely different journey and trajectory to you, and you just have to get used to going, it doesn't matter. Yeah. And the people I'm talking about, I've overtaken them now. Because it's not about getting gigs within your first 6 months. It's about becoming as good a comic as you can possibly be. And when I started to try and have that attitude, at first it felt so sort of jarring with who I actually am, because I'm a very, very competitive person. So I was like, but I want to compete with it, but it doesn't matter. And I had to sort of manually in my own brain go, it's nothing to do with you. Just be happy for them. And now it's second nature to me. It's first nature to me. If one of my mates tells me they've got it and I haven't got, I'm so happy for them.
Yeah, because you've had some success, and it's a healthy, It's just a healthy survival mechanism to go, oh, I'm running my own race. Look where you do. Yeah. On some things, you'll get ahead. Someone will catch you up. Someone will come up from nowhere. And like, look at you, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, you weren't headlining clubs. Some comics, who I've been headlining clubs for a while, some comics feel very threatened by people coming up and like being too good to support and being headline. I'm all for, not just you, for anyone who's ready to headline needs to be moved to headline. Because that was, do you remember that gig 2 years ago? About a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Frog.
The Frog, for some reason, the sound tech at the Frog, Colin, just was like, I don't know what it was. He was like, Adam's not, ooh, I'm just not sure he's ready to headline. And I gig with you that I had to follow you. Oh my God. And I just literally, I got annoyed. And it wasn't because I was particularly trying to help your career. I was like, why is this guy? He's, I know like we're mates, but I was like, get him off the fucking middle spot. He's a headliner. He should be headlining. I don't feel threatened by anyone coming up because it means I've got to still be good. And anyone who's up there headlining who's like, oh God, I don't want anyone being progressed to headlining because then maybe I'll not get work. It's because they know secretly they're not good enough. So they either have to work harder or just get with it. Work harder. You'll be fine.
What I notice is comics at your level who are one of the best comics in the country and have headlined for a while, they don't get nervous about young comics like me coming through, because the way I look at it, right, if a comedy club has got 52 weeks a year, right, let's say 50, just so it's a round number, and you take a week off for Christmas or whatever, right, there's 50 weekends a year where they need a headliner for three nights. So that means there's 50 headline spots available, and let's say every headliner gets to do it twice, so there's actually only 25, right? If a new guy gets to start headlining, i.e. me, as long as you're not the 25th best headliner, you're not going to lose any fucking work. If you're in the top five, you're not losing any work because you're not bothered about a new headliner. All it does is make your job easier because you're not following someone good enough to headline who's in the easiest spot in the bill, which is the middle, innit?
Yeah, and also, all comedy clubs being great is in my interest. It's in your interest. Like, you want everyone to do well. You always want yourself to do slightly better. But I want the best acts in the headline spot. I want circuit comedy to flourish. I've never felt threatened by that. And that's because run your own race. Just run your own race. Don't worry looking across. It's very easy to do when you're starting out in comedy because you're so obsessed. You're like, and this probably goes for every like career. When you're insecure because you've not had the validation, it's very easy to get annoyed about someone else. Oh God, they've got an agent. Oh fuck, how did they get that big job? Why have they got that promotion? I should be getting that promotion. You learn, especially when you get a bit of success yourself, you go, ah, I just need to run my own race because I'm in my track. I need to work hard, because you're losing energy bitching about other people doing fucking long Facebooks about why it's bullshit. Like, all that energy could have been spent writing a fucking bit of material.
Do you know what did more for my mental health on this sort of subject than anything else in the world? Was when Bill Baer told me that he picked me. So when I opened for Bill, which I've mentioned a couple of times, and I'll talk about it forever because I fucking love it, I got that gig because Bill Baer's UK tour promoter is Live Nation. At the time, they were also my tour promoter. And what they do is, when he's not bringing one of his American mates over to do the tour support, they essentially send him five options and go, here's five of the acts we're also touring at a lower level to you. We think these five would all be suitable to open for you. You choose which one you want. Now, I just assumed his agent would do that. His manager would go, we'll have that guy. Throw a dart at the board. We're not asked. We know you think these guys are good, whatever. When I did the first night of the tour, I come off stage and I hadn't met him yet because he got there after I went on. And I went in the dressing room and I said, look, Bill, I listen to your podcast a lot, mate, and I know you don't take compliments particularly well, and I don't want to do this at the end of it. I just want to let you know now, big deal for me this. You're literally my favourite comic, and it's an honour to do these five shows with you. And he went, oh, don't worry about it, man. I got sent five options. I watched all five, and you were my favorite by a mile. So I just demanded that it was you that got it. That, the best, in my mind, the best comic alive at the minute, and in the conversation for the best comic of all time, telling me that he thinks I'm a great stand up. I was like, no one else's opinions matter anymore. There's no reviewer who can go three stars and it gets to me, because I'm like, Bill Baer thinks I'm great. So you can shove your fucking media degree up your twat. I'm not asked.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, it's, yeah. That's the bit of the validation that you've got.
There's sort of no, to me, there's no higher authority than him and people like him. So I'm like, if he thinks I'm good, then I'm good. Yeah, end of story.
And you sold 1,300 tickets in Liverpool at the Arena Auditorium.
Yeah, but the shit comics who sell a lot of tickets.
Yeah, that's true. And so, I asked if you wanted to do a podcast together. So that must be, yeah, is that similar? That was a similar feeling.
Yeah, very similar level. Yeah. But I think getting
one of the best in the world, one of the best from Preston. That's pretty much same.
Yeah, but someone who you think is great telling you they think you're great is, that's a stamp in it. And that was enough for me. So,
and I think I
really sort of,
yeah, sorry, mate. I was just,
I just really sort of from that moment on, really, it really sort of boosted my I do not give a fuck attitude more than it ever did with anything else.
I think it shows as well. I remember when you were coming up and you were so earnest and trying, and sometimes you can try and force it too much. I think you give off the air of a man who knows he's good and he's getting on with it. And I think once you free yourself of that, now you don't, like, there's probably a way of being, you need a bit of drive, don't you? You need targets to set and go for it. But you give off the air of a man who's like happy with where he's at and knows he's good. And that's, it's a positive.
Well, it's about how you channel your drive, because like it, the way I try and look at it is I want, my goal now is to do my own show at the Royal Albert Hall, right? I want to do my own headline show at the Royal Albert Hall, my show. Get back to where I opened for him and go, look, I've got here now. But if I don't get there, I might get somewhere else, which is still pretty amazing. And I've come to recognize that if I do what I do now, apart from like during shutdown, but I mean, if my career plateaus and I stay exactly where I am, would I be happy? And the answer is absolutely yeah. I get to do some amazing shows. I get to do some small tour shows. I adore comedy clubs. There's very, very few people who have a life as comfortable with a job they love as much as what I've got. So if I don't get anywhere else, I feel like I've already made it.
But there is an element of like, if you don't have those targets, it's a case study. Your career is a case study of the industry you're in. I've watched loads of older comics and gone, what has gone wrong for you? Because you were top dog on the circuit. And I've got as good as you and then got better than you. And now you're falling down. You're out of the top 25. You're a championship. You're not a headliner. Yeah. You're not in the headline Premier League. You're in the championship, middle support, headline, smaller clubs. And I watch them and I think it's because if you are not moving towards something, it's like being a shark, isn't it? I remember Freddie Quinn once said that about, you've got to be moving forward, otherwise you die like a shark. And I think it's true. If you just go, oh, I've got here, now I'm at this level and I'm fine, the lack of momentum means you start dropping. And whatever you need to make, like, I think people slag off older comics who've been going a while doing Edinburgh, you're like, what's the point? You're like, because for them, it gives them something to work towards. Even if it's just generating momentum for yourself to keep being creative, there's nothing wrong with that. To just keep going, to set yourself. And I've set my sights. I want to support you at the Royal Albert Hall. That's my goal. You know? So I've set my targets and I'm going to live that dream. You'll be the shark and I'll be one of them little weird fish swimming next to you going, shall we do an episode of the podcast, Adam? And you're like, fucking no, lad.
There's a bit on Tom Segura's new special sort of on the subject where he says it's very rare for Tom Segura to be earnest and honest on stage, but he says someone told me something a while ago which I think is bang on, which is as long as you accept that your dream might not end up exactly how you imagine it to be, you'll still be fulfilled by pursuing it.
Yeah.
It's the pursuit that fills you, not the actual getting there. And I think that's so right. And I think a lot of those older comics who are really bitter and they've been relegated down a couple of leagues of where they are on the bill and stuff, it's because they set a target and they're fuming. They've watched their mates become famous and they're like, why wasn't that me? The way I let go of it, they've never been able to do that. They've never been able to go, what? And they can't. Their ego, comics have an ego. We have to, because we walk into a room full of 200 people and grab a mic and we're the only ones allowed to talk. You have to, I think there's a Johnny Vegas quote, which is, to be a comedian, what you're saying is, I'm so funny, you should have to pay to listen to what I've got to say.
Yeah.
That's every comedian. That's not abrasive comedians. That's not comedians who present a confident persona. Even the meek, oh, I don't know anything about women, and oh, my dad's a man's man, but I'm not. Even those comics are making that statement by getting on stage in the first place. And I forgot where I've gone with it.
But I tell you what, it was a great journey. Do you know what? We didn't get to the point, but I really enjoyed the journey.
The older comics, they've still got that ego. So, and they can't let it go. They can't go, oh, they're protecting that ego by going, I should have made it. It's like, well, what did you do? I've played the comedy clubs for years. Why haven't I been on Live the Apollo? Because the guy who books it isn't going to Nottingham Jonglers.
Yeah, because you didn't do anything different. The definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So when those comics, and this is, again, any industry, whatever, if you're a musician, blah, blah, being like, well, I've been good for years. I've been doing Nottingham Jonglers. I've been doing... And did you do anything else? As the internet sprung up around you, as Edinburgh was there, as different festivals was there, as people were writing one-man shows and using different parts of those, they were writing books. Did you think about doing anything different or still just bashing out the same 25? No, I just did the same 25. Well, fuck off then, mate. What did you expect? Bore off. That's my biggest
now word from our sponsors.
And if you'd like to see
comedy club,
if you'd like to see someone dead behind the eyes, Nottingham Jonglers is closed. But if you'd like to see some upcoming talent and people who give a shit because they're swimming forwards like a shark, visit Vauxhall Comedy Club. What a great segue, Adam. We're getting very professional. Adam, I think you're one of the best people that I
think you're one of the best. No, but I we're so good, aren't we?
I think
aren't we great?
I think you're one of the top two people on this podcast. All right.
Me too. I reckon I am as well.
It's time to give some love to one of our sponsors. The original gangster sponsor, Vauxhall Comedy Club, is proud to present Bottomless Booze Comedy every Friday and Saturday night, coming back some point soon, hopefully, possibly. This frankly bonkers offer gives you 90 minutes of comedy from top circuit and TV comics, as well as 90 minutes of bottomless booze from just £25. That's bottomless beer, wine, cider and hand sanitizer for just £25. Spirit and mixer bottomless tickets start at £35 and entry-only tickets for the straight-laced purists start at £10. Vauxhall Comedy Club is normally open Monday to Saturday and is also right next to Vauxhall Street Food Gardens. Loads of really good street food vendors. That's open Monday till Friday. Please, for the love of God, don't visit them for the foreseeable future. But instead, follow them on social media and sign up to the mailing list, and then they'll announce their triumphant return, hopefully fucking soon. Mailing list is vauxhallcomedyclub.com and the socials at Vauxhall Comedy Club on Instagram, at Vauxhall Comedy on Twitter, Vauxhall Comedy Club on Facebook. The show is 18+, no ID, no entry, and we operate a challenge 25 door policy. What up? For when you need a laugh post-apocalypse, choose Vauxhall Comedy. It's time for Have a Word with Dan and Adam. Oh, fuck you. I moved my name around. That's me getting competitive.
Oh, shit.
Go on.
It's the Patreon episode. We have to do the shout out today, don't we? So once we're done with the Have a Word bit, I'll have to get the list up and do it then, because I haven't got it up yet.
Yeah.
The producer list.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, this is the episode where we shout out our Patreon £10 legends. Now, if anyone hasn't signed up to the Patreon so far and you're waiting to do it, never been a better time than right now. If you don't know how Patreon works, you basically give us a few quid every month to help us sort of get through the shutdown and to produce as much content as we are for you. And we're very, very grateful. You can sign up for £3, £5, £10. And if you sign up for £10, you're officially a producer of the podcast. And at the end of today's episode, every single Monday, we read a full list of our producers. But even if you can only afford the £3 or the £5, you're just as important to us. It would just take us 6 fucking months to read everyone's name out.
Everyone that signs up to the Patreon at this point, and there will be a cutoff for this eventually, won't there? But everyone that signs up for the Patreon at this point is getting some form of free ticket for the thank you show that we're gonna put on post shutdown.
We're going to do a big thank you show at the end of the shutdown for all of our patrons. That's going to probably be in Liverpool. We will add some other dates as well once we're allowed to do that. But big thank you show. And if you are one of our patrons, you'll get a free ticket for that if you sign up for £3. And if you sign up for 5 or 10, you'll get 2 free tickets. That's going to be an amazing show. We're probably going to cut that off, that offer off at the end of April, I think.
And I think we're going to have to rejig how we do things from that point, because we can't have a permanent free ticket thank you offer, because say the shutdown lasts till July, it's impossible to do a thank you show with 2,000 free tickets. It's just not going to...
It's just not possible.
Because the venue will be like, yeah, brilliant. So what we do is we take this amount of the door and we'll be like, there isn't a door, it's the thank you show. They'll be like, all right, well then fuck off, morons. All right, okay.
But once we do sort of remove that offer, there will still be some massive benefits to being a patron. There's going to be... We'll talk about this towards the end of the month, but we're going to rejig the patron a bit. And if you are a patron, you're going to be very happy with the extra content and the offers you get on merch and stuff like that. But that's all for slightly further down the line. Anyone who signed up so far... And I know it gets a bit tedious and tiresome when we say this so often, and it almost sounds redundant because we say it that often. We're so grateful. We can't tell you how much easier you're making our lives at the minute. And if you want to join the team and become one of the lids, a Weirders original, then go to patreon.com/haveawordpod. It's patreon.com/haveawordpod. And as I said that, my sign has fell down again.
Listen, if you sign up to the Patreon, you're massively helping us out financially. If you can't afford it, we get it. Just tell a friend, spread the word, do a tweet, do a Facebook. If you can afford the 3, the 5, the 10, it's a lifeboat for us financially, but it also is the start of the ball rolling on this podcast, getting bigger, eventually becoming a YouTube channel, growing. And we're hoping to get to the point in the near future. We've not just got a producer, but also a sign in Adam's studio that actually stays on the fucking wall. So it's the dream, innit? It's just the dream.
Oh, we got some plans for this motherfucker. It's going to be big. Right, shall we have a word? Shall we have a word?
Yes, mate.
Okay. So I've got to go to my Instagram to get this first one up because I forgot about this. So there's just a little message for everyone. I will forget about things if you send them directly to me on Instagram and Twitter. Get them into the email, haveawordpod@gmail.com. But
try your best to come through the email for everything. It really is going to become important.
So this is going to have to stay anonymous, but apparently the guy who is the target of the Have a Word does sometimes listen to this podcast.
Oh, I like it.
So... All right, lads, I need you to have a word with me dad, right? He's an absolute bellend. He left when I was a kid a million times. He kept coming back, ruining my mum's life, breaking her heart and breaking mine and my brothers and sisters' heart. There's three of us. He was never really there for us. And now that we're adults and he doesn't have to pay any fucking money to keep us fucking alive because we've all got jobs, he now wants to get in touch. He keeps making fake profiles to message me. I keep blocking every profile he makes on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and he won't stop. Now, I've posted a few times and said that I listen to the Have a Word podcast, and as a result, he started listening to it as well. Jesus, I don't want you to name Christ. Him. He knows exactly who he is. There won't be anyone else on this, but I need you to tell him to fuck off. Have a word with him. I don't want anything to do with him. Please tell me dad to never message me again. He's an absolute rat. Me mum was me dad. He needs to go fuck himself.
Cha! Upset me, nasty bitch!
I told you it was dark, baby.
Oh, my God. I feel used, but in the most phenomenal way. How amazing is a podcast that basically we have been used by a listener as a vessel to tell their dad to fuck off?
We are the new Jeremy Kyle. There's a gap in the market.
Oh, my God. As someone who has suffered at the hands of a bit of a broken family and a bit of a ropey relationship with my dad, which is fine, which is all right now. I'm not really speaking to my stepmom. I haven't spoken to stepmom for 3 years. There was a point in my childhood when it was ropey. We did enough there back in the day to keep it going. But I'll tell you what about dad, my dad. At the time, financially, he never missed a payment or any of that stuff. And you know, like when we were young, he did pay for stuff. That is so important. Like, we had a ropey relationship, but he wasn't like, oh no, I've got to spend money on Frosty Jack. Like, at least he did that. The sliminess of being like, oh no, do I need child support? Fucking that, no, mate. And then as soon as everyone's 18, like, yeah, all right, can we have a relationship?
Happy birthday to you.
Awful.
Happy birthday to you.
That is child nasty, bitch.
Will you buy me a pint?
I don't like that. Yeah.
Horrible, innit? If dad's listening, swivel, lad. Fucking swivel. Get gone. No one wants to hear from you. You fucking Bjagan.
I think family, people get away with absolute murder, don't they, through your life for being like, well, we are blood. And talking about the people that piss you off after Shani's Would You Rather, and like you being very much like, do you know what? I've run my own race and I'm at one with that. For me, what I'm finding is the worst thing you can do is keep people in your life that are bad for you. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying they're the worst person in the world, or you genuinely hate them or anything. But if someone pisses you off, doesn't matter. We went to school together. It's my cousin. Blah de blah. There's so many good people in the world. You've got so much time to share. Just cut out the dickheads. Just delete the morons. Even if it's your dad, cousin, old best friend. If they're a cancer in your existence, get rid. Free up the space to do things you want, or spend time with people you like.
I think this shutdown is going to do that for a lot of people, you know? I think people coming out of the shutdown are going to get texts from, like, mates going, oh my God, shutdown's over, should we go and do something? They're going to be like, do you know what? I haven't missed you at all. No, I'm just going to block your number.
It is pressing who you remember to ring and who you remember to text. Some people are like, oh God, yeah, we're meant to be mates.
Look, I'm not a dad yet. I will be at some point. I want kids. Don't hide from that. Absolutely all in on it. But look, people do break up. You can have a broken family. Parents should not stay together just for the sake of the kids. It actually negatively affects the kids long term. It's a really bad idea. You can break up and be like, do you know what? I can't be with it anymore. But you've got to be there for your kids. And you can't just be fucking off until everything's free. So yeah, if you're listening to this, Anonymous's dad, you're a bell end. We don't like you. You're not well. If you're a patron, unsigned, you're not welcome at the live show.
Mate, he's definitely not a patron, is he? If you've not paid for your kids, you're not signing up for Patreon.
How funny would that be if he's fucking dodged child support for 20 odd years and then he's like, do you know what? I really like this podcast.
I love the fact that they've used a podcast to tell someone to fuck off. My brother-in-law, who's staying with us at the moment, one of his mates got dumped by a guy absolutely out of nowhere. They were seeing each other for like 2 months, really intensely. And the lad just ghosted him instantly. No response. So Sam's mate was like, what? I thought I was in love with this guy. Started messaging him, trying to get through. He was blocked on everything. Literally blocked on WhatsApp, blocked his phone. He couldn't get a message through to him. Do you know the only way he got a message through to say, what the fuck is going on?
MySpace?
He blocked on everything. He put a pound in his bank account. And you know, in the pound, you can write a message as a reference from who the pounds come from. So he backed on his online banking a pound into the guy's account, and in the reference went, what the fuck has happened? Like, where are you? Literally.
Oh, God.
And you know what this guy did? The guy got the... I mean, how much... You've got to feel... When you get a pound, the saddest pound you can ever receive is someone going, please just give me some form of human contact. This is the only thing you can't block is me backing a pound to you. Next day, he sent the pound back with no message.
Of course he did.
That's fucking bleak.
He never sent the pound. Who was that? Was that Sam's mate? Sam's mate was the one who sent the pound.
Yeah.
He's a knobhead. He's a creep.
Just
take the fucking hint, lad. No, I'm sorry. Sam's mate is a fucking worm. How creepy have you got to be to be like, well, he's blocked me on absolutely everything. But I'm just wondering what's going on. What's the matter? I need to know what I've done. You fucking weird gobshite. What are you doing?
Do you know what?
I sent him a pound.
You know what? You're the one who's always on about closure. That's him trying to be... That's really creative way of getting closure, isn't it?
No. Do you know what closure is? Getting blocked on everything. That is a massive bit of closure. That's closure in itself. Go fuck yourself. I don't want to talk to you. Yeah. Oh, no wonder he got ghosted. I bet you he is a clingy, creepy, weird fuck. I'm telling you right now, he's someone texting 100 times a day, multiple texts when he's not getting replies. He is a needy bellend. That's what he is. That is one of the creepiest fucking things I've ever heard.
I think, I'll tell you what, it's one of the most...
I sent him a pound.
With a message.
So I could get a message through. Wow! Wow!
Do you know?
Oh my God.
Do you know?
No.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm like, oh no.
This is me, Christopher Walken. Have I told you? That can be Christopher Walken? Wow. Too much. No. You can't be doing that. No. He doesn't want to talk to you. Wow.
That's an amazing Christopher Walken. And this lad's gay. So I think you're actually camping Christopher Walken up quite well.
Who does that? No.
This watch is your birthright. your father had his watch up his ass.
You can't be sending pounds just to get a message through. Take the hint.
It's actually getting better.
He doesn't want to know you. He doesn't want to know you.
What if the dad is a patron and he turns up to the thank you show not to see us?
Oh, I'm well past talking about his dad. His dad's a bellend.
What if his dad turns up at the patron thank you live show? What if the patron and he turns up at the live show and he's like, yeah, I'm not really bothered. I signed up just so I might see my son at the thank you show. Oh, it's so tragic.
Send him a quid, lad.
Send him a quid. Here's 2 quid back.
Oh my
Fuck
God.
Off.
I think inadvertently we found a way to solve this. So, Dad, if you're listening, add up how much you owe in child support. Send that via a bank transfer and put your message on that.
Sorry, lad.
There's 32 grand with 20 years in child support. Now, would you like to go to the wacky warehouse?
I wanna pick up where we left off. Happy meal. 27.
Oh, he sent him a pound.
You're disgusted with that, aren't you?
I wish you told me that on Saturday, because I think I need a full 48 hours to comprehend that before we can do a podcast again.
I think it's really creative stalking, though, isn't it?
It's noncy.
It is.
It's creepy.
It is weird. It is weird. You've convinced me that it's weird. I felt sorry for him because it was Sam's mate. He was like, oh God, isn't it bad, the suffering? I was like, yeah. As soon as you heard it, went, fuck off. I was like, what a waste of a quid.
I feel sorry for the guy who he's been messaging.
just trying to fucking, just trying to ghost.
No, come on. Right, can you imagine, you've dated people for a short amount of time and being like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And then a bit fucking mental.
Yeah, but when I was dating, it was a different era. You know, when I ghosted a girl, you know, they'd send a telegram.
She sent you a check.
Send a check, telegram, a pigeon.
She sent you a check.
The telegram rider would turn up on a horse and be like, sir, you have a telegram. Like, ignore it.
Parchment.
Trying to fuck that bitch off.
There's a Roman
Dear sir.
Dear sir or madam,
thou hast ghosted thee. Oh. Oh, you're funny. I tell you what, lad, you're funny. I think I know why Bill Burr likes you. Should we call it a POD, mate?
You probably should, shouldn't we? Do you want a song?
That was a fun one.
Okay, so today's song is the original Hedits. Original spelled normally, and Hedits is HEADITS, all one word. This is their song Super Beautiful. They're a funk band from Manchester. facebook.com/original Hedits, there's no the, sorry. And this is their song Super Beautiful. We will see you all tomorrow, and please wait around till after the song if you're one of the producers of the podcast, because you're going to get your shout out soon, baby. See you tomorrow.
Appreciate the fuck out of you. We'll be right back.
Our list of Patreon producers are Jason Hopkins, Rebecca Thomas, Jamie Moores, Christian, Aaron Ledbetter, AJ Gregson, Alexis Bly, Anthony Doran, Anthony Jollies, Anthony Wilkinson, Barney Wood, Barney Parsons, Benjamin Jake Smith, Bunny Whitehead, Carmel, Chris Jones, Chris Townsend, Chris Watson, Kian O'Connell, Colette Hind, Damian Rock, Dan Thomas, Daniel Newman, Daniel Pugh, Daniel Gilligan, Dean Cochran, Donatello, Frank Hughes, the Frog and Booker team, George, whatever your surname is, Glenn Turner, Graham Cashel, Ian Pringle, Ian Chadwick, Jack Rush, Jack Scargill, James Fuchs, Janet Roskell, Jennifer Ridding, Jess Yarwood, Jill Bushell, Joanne Parr, John White, Johnny Armstrong, Jordan, you haven't got a surname, Julie Smith, Kathleen Simon, Catherine Wells, Kiefer Gallagher, Kieran Gibson, Kirsty Leonard, Lee Aitchinson, Lee Grant, Liam, whatever your surname is, Louise Grimes, Mark Hughes, Mark Cowan, Mark Hollenbach, Matt Delmain, Matthew Rees, Michael Christopher, Mike Kivy, Mike Quirk, Mike Sullivan, Muttley, Nathan Sharrix, Owen Badman, Paul McDonald, Rachel Heron, Rachel Whiteley, Richard Palmer, Rob Bell, Rob Upton, Russell Waring, Sam Crow, Sam Maguire, Sammy Taylor, Saz Green, Scott, whatever your surname is, Stephen Theobald, Stephen D. Malone, Terry Burke, Tom Peterson, Tom Rowe, David Everson. They're our legends so far for this week. If you do want to join this list, then please do sign up at patreon.com/haveawordpod. We'll see you tomorrow, guys. Nice one for listening.
See you later.